Good morning and welcome. Welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we worship here on a fine Sunday morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I am pastor here and will be leading worship today. Becky Stamm will be our liturgist. Heather Hicks will be delivering our especially for children's message. Earl Linhart is directing our choir this morning, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card that are in the pews in front of you, and you can leave them in right there in the pew, or you can put them in the offering plates, which are at the back of this front section of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us from home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you would like to learn more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements to share this morning. The first, that the flowers are given by Lori Lamble in memory of her husband, David Cameron. We thank her for that. At the end of the worship service today, we will hold a meeting of the congregation for the purpose of electing officers. And members are asked to attend. Visitors are welcome to attend. If it's anything like we usually do, this will be over rather quickly. And so we're going to ask you stay seated for the benediction and the postlude following the congregational meeting. And then after that, you can head out to our coffee and cookies in the gathering area. Ladies' Night Out is this coming Tuesday. Ladies' Night Out is going to be at Matt the Miller's at 6:30 p.m. All the women of the church are invited to attend, and you can let Diana Westfall know. And Diana is over here if you wish to attend. And next Sunday, the Christian Education Department will be recognizing our graduates. We will also recognize those who have contributed to our educational ministries over the past year. So that'll be an exciting piece for next Sunday. Speaking of our educational ministries, I'm going to ask Heather to come up and make an announcement as well.
Next Saturday is also the start of the Farmers Market. And the CE team has put together a spreadsheet for people who would like to sign up. What you'll be doing is just being here at our church out on the lawn, as long as it's not raining. And we have activities and stuff for families to participate in as they go around the farmers market. This is not a babysitting thing, so you're not going to be babysitting any kids. It's just to get our face out there, let the community know that, yes, we are here, both physically as a church building and as a people. And so if you would be willing to sign up, we're asking that people serve a two-hour stint during the farmer's market, starting a half an hour before the farmer's market to get set up, and then going to the midline, and then a second group will come in, and they will pack everything up at the end of the farmer's market. I already have one family signed up for next week, but I need another one, so if you'd be willing to do that, there is a sign-up sheet out here under events in our little sign-up book, so please come and join us and have some fun and just be a part of our community.
Great. And it's a wonderful way to share ourselves with the community. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship in your order of worship. Let the people enjoy our God. Let all the people enjoy the Lord God Almighty. Let all the people everywhere shout their happiness, because the Lord has blessed the earth and we have received God's benefits. Let all the people worship God. Let us pray the prayer of approach as printed in your order of worship. O God, may the eyes of our understanding be flooded with your light, that we might know the hope to which we have been called, and how rich is your glorious inheritance. May we ever carry the glory of your mighty hope into the commonness of our days. God, prepare us for the height of blessing to which you have called us, that we may experience the wonder of your love as we worship you this morning. Amen.
Morning. I'm going to invite all of our young friends who are here with us and who are watching virtually to be a part of our service, and to invite all the little kids inside here. to come forward as well and be a part of our worship service. Today, it just seems kind of like an ordinary day, doesn't it? Just like a regular, typical Sunday. But believe it or not, we are still in the season of Easter. Now, that's something that we don't often think about, do we? We think Easter Sunday, right? That's Easter. And that's the end of it, right? But it's not. Easter goes for several weeks. Just like Christmas, we've heard of the 12 days of Christmas. Just like Christmas goes longer than we typically think of just one day for Christmas, Easter goes longer too. And Easter is such a special time for us because Easter is the season that we wrap our faith around. Easter is the reason that we celebrate all the other Christian holidays that we do. Because Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus defied all the odds and rose again from the dead. And because God did that special thing, we remember Jesus and how special Jesus was. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Easter is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Because without Easter, we wouldn't know just how special Jesus' birth was. And we're so grateful to God for Easter. And we still have, I think it's at least one more week of Easter, and then we celebrate another special holiday, and we go into another season of the Christian calendar. But Easter is so important to remember that it's not just one day. Yes, we celebrate the resurrection on one day, that special Easter morning, but we celebrate it for an entire season, not just one day. So as you go home this week, I want you to remind your families, or maybe if you're watching by yourself and your family's in another room, you can go tell them, hey, Easter's not over yet. We can still have fun and do fun Easter-y type things. So let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for special holidays and seasons on our calendar like Easter. We're so thankful for your son, Jesus, who gave his life for us. And we're so thankful that we don't just have to celebrate one day. We get to celebrate for an entire season and for the entire year if we really want to. We give you thanks, oh God, for that special gift of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The scripture this morning is taken, wow, I am so moved by that anthem that I need a moment. The scripture this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And again, as it was, it has been in Revelation, the visions. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned by her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Omega and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me echo what Becky said. That was wonderful. And I, too, am going to have trouble getting started here this morning. I have a second scripture lesson to read this morning. This one's from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Hear now these words. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture. And we ask this morning that your Spirit help us to understand them and apply them to our lives today. Amen. The seminary teacher took his class out for a picnic on a spring evening. And they enjoyed themselves well past sunset into the dark of the late evening. And when everyone was gathered around the fire, he posed a question to them, and he asked them whether they could tell at what point the night ends and the day begins. After some thought, one young man ventured that it would be when you could tell your dog from a wolf at 50 paces. "No," said the teacher. Another thought it might be when it was light enough to tell by the leaves overhead whether you were sitting under an oak tree or a maple tree. And the professor responded again, "No." And then the professor said, "It is when one looks into the eyes of another and sees a brother or a sister, then the day has begun." Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you loved one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." Christian author Milton Schwarzenthaler wrote that the ability to love others is the identifying characteristic of Christians. When I planned this sermon, I thought of it being the Sunday in which we will elect elders and deacons for our church, and I had in mind what qualities are required to be an elder or a deacon in the Presbyterian Church. And we have a whole list of them in our Book of Order. The Book of Order says elders should be persons of wisdom, have maturity of faith, demonstrate skills of leadership, be compassionate in spirit. And then it says deacons should be, among other things, persons of spiritual character, honest repute, of sound judgment, and of sincere compassion. All good qualities, but as I began to wrestle with this sermon, I began to realize that Schwarzenthaler was right. Despite all that we might do in the name of Christ, the distinguishing characteristics of Christians is the ability to demonstrate our love for others. We are here because we have been loved. We are here because we love in return. And the word Jesus used for love, agape, in the Greek means, according to the Bible dictionary, to love, value, esteem, feel, or manifest generous concern for and be faithful towards and to delight in and to set upon the other. To which we might spend a good deal of our time this afternoon reflecting how Jesus commanded us to recognize and appreciate the value of others, how we might use our energies to express generous concern for our neighbors, how we might delight in the gifts of every person, whether they be friend, stranger, or even enemy. But I wonder if Bishop Fulton Sheen might have been more helpful when he said, love has three elements, kindness, kindness, kindness. A few years ago, I was watching the NCAA basketball tournament. If you're a follower of that particular tournament, you know that the stakes are high and the pressure is immense. And the particular game I was watching was coming down to the final seconds with both teams tied. And one team worked the ball down the court to take a last second shot and thereby win the game. However, the guard passed the ball to another player and that ball went right through his hands and out of bounds. A turnover, and the ball went to the other team. And quickly, with only a few seconds left, the other team got the ball, took a last second shot that went in and won the game. And the TV cameras were showing the mayhem on the court and the celebrations with fans and players. But what I noticed was not the celebrating players, but the coach of the losing team placing his arm around the player who had missed the pass. I have no idea what the coach said at that moment. But I could tell in that moment that I saw an element of kindness and love. And perhaps that is the dimension of love that Jesus is seeking in this commandment, that we love through our actions as Jesus loved us in his actions. The context of this commandment is the Last Supper. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet as a tangible demonstration of the role of the leader within a church. Thus, the love that they are to show others is a love that is born out of service. Christian author Frederick Buechner once wrote, in the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he is not telling us to love them in the sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, Jesus is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being. To that end, even if it means sometimes just leaving them alone. As I reflect on all of this, I came to realize that we are called to do this one thing as Christians, to love one another, to love our family, to love our friends, to love our fellow church members, to love the members of the church down the street, to love our neighbors, to love our work colleagues, to love our annoying classmate, to love the person who looks different from you, to love the person whose politics upset you, to love everyone Jesus loves. As Buechner suggests, this is not a feeling sort of love, it is an act of will sort of love. We tangibly make the decision not just to be loving, but to act loving. Not just to be kind, but to demonstrate kindness in our actions, to see the face of Christ in our brother and sister. When we do this, then the world knows who we are and whose we are. When we don't, the world knows who we are, but it doesn't know who Christ is. There's a story in Isaac Dinesen's book, Out of Africa, about a boy named Kitau. He appeared at the author's door one day to ask for a job as a domestic servant, and she hired him and was surprised when after 3 months he asked for a letter of recommendation to Sheikh Ali bin Salim, a Muslim who lived in a nearby town. Dinesen offered to raise Kitau's pay in order to keep him, but the money was not his interest. Kitau had decided to become either a Christian or a Muslim, and his purpose in working for Dinesen had been to see up close the way a Christian lived. Now that he had worked for Dinesen and seen the ways of Christians, he would go and observe Sheikh Ali to see how Muslims behave, and then he would decide. The author remembers how she wished Kitau had told her before that he told her that before he had come to live with her. I read this and wondered, would Kitau have gotten a favorable opinion of Christianity if he had spent 3 months closely observing me? If he had come to work in your home for the last 3 months, would he have decided to become a Christian? If Kitau had spent the last 3 months in our church, would he have experienced the love that Christ commanded of us? I hope so. For that is what Jesus is telling us here. You call yourself a church, then prove it. Prove it by how well you demonstrate your love for one another. This is the mark of the church, the only mark, according to Jesus. For he did not say, everyone you know are my disciples, by saying the right creed. He didn't say that the world would recognize the church by how well we perform our worship, or what translation of the Bible we use, or how good our building looks. He said that the world will know that this is the church of Jesus by how we love one another. I'm reminded of the prayer of one of the great examples of Christian love, Mother Teresa of India, who wrote this prayer. Dearest Lord, I see you today and every day in the person of your sick and whilst nursing minister to you. Though you hide yourself behind the unattractive disguise of the irritable and the exacting, the unreasonable, may I still recognize you and say, Jesus, my patient, how sweet it is to serve you. Lord, give me the seeing faith, and then my work will never be monotonous. I will ever find joy in humoring the fancies and gratifying the wishes of all the poor sufferers. Oh, beloved sick, how doubly dear you are to me when you personify Christ. What a privilege is mine to be allowed to tend to you. Sweetest Lord, make me appreciative of the dignity of high vocation and its many responsibilities. Never permit me to disgrace it by giving way to coldness, unkindness, or impatience. And, O God, while you are Jesus, my intention, which is to love and serve you in person, in the person of each of your sick, Lord, increase my faith, bless my efforts and work, now and forevermore. Amen. I cannot tell if this prayer of Mother Teresa was as a nurse to the sick or as Mother Teresa's Christian disciple. But maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that prayer ought to be the prayer of every one of our leaders whom we will elect today. Maybe that prayer ought to be the prayer of every one of us, for we are all called to love one another. And it's a great way to start the day. Amen.
If you are able, please stand. Now let us affirm our faith by saying together the calling of the church is found in the Book of Order, which is the document that governs the life of the Presbyterian Church and its individual congregations. The church is the body of Christ. Christ gives to the church all the gifts necessary to be his body. The church strives to demonstrate these gifts in its life as a community in the world. The church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. The church is to be a community of hope, rejoicing in the sure and certain knowledge that, in Christ, God is making a new creation. The new creation is a new beginning for human life and for all things. The church lives in the present on the strength of that promised new creation. The church is to be a community of love where sin is forgiven, reconciliation is accomplished, and the dividing walls of hostility are torn down. The church is to be a community of witness, pointing it beyond itself through the work and word of the good news of God's transforming grace in Christ Jesus, its Lord. We will live as Christ's church in the world.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come before God in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. Creating God, we praise you for your handiwork in shaping and sustaining your wonderful creation. For the miracle of life and the wonder of living, for the resources of this earth and the gift of creative vision and skillful craft. For these things, O Lord, we give you thanks. May we be more mindful of you in our lives, you who call us to love one another, O God, who cast fear out of the hearts of all as you remind us to consider the lilies you have created in the world you have called good. Through Jesus Christ, break down the walls of hostility that divide us and send peace on earth. Put down greed, pride, anger, and those things that turn nation against nation and race against race. Remove hate and prejudice from us and from all people so that your children may be reconciled with those whom we fear, resent, or threaten. Grant that we might live together in your peace. Merciful God, you hear the pain of the world. Look with compassion on all those who are ill, all those who mourn. Nurture and cheer them with your word. Bring healing as a sign of your grace. As you stand with each of us, may we be reminded that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall separate any of us from your love. Give us faith in our praying and love in our serving, that by your power we may find a new balance in living and a new victory in adversity. O Lord God, you have entrusted us with the gift of fellowship. It is the simplest acts of kindness that we come to know and be known. Help us to make and to take time for one another, to give generously and receive openly, to be gentle in our gestures and kind in our deeds. Though you, O Lord, have entrusted us with so much, and though we marvel at it, our trust rests ultimately in you. No other is worthy of the praise we offer. As your Son taught us, we pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and join in the congregational response as printed in the order of worship. Blessings be upon you this day and every day. Amen.